All right, guys, we're going to get started. Listen, I love to see this. I love to see people back building relationship, fellowshipping, because it shows how excited we are. We're excited to get to know each other. We're excited to grow in our relationships with each other and in God. And that's great. I mean, this is an exciting, exciting time at Crossroads Church. I mean, whether you've been here for 5 minutes or 5 years, you walk in this place and you can sense the moving of the Spirit. You can sense God working in this place. It's amazing. I mean, I'm so excited to be part of this. And hopefully you are too. So I was really excited to preach. For those of you that don't know, I preached my first sermon a year ago tomorrow. 1 year. I preached my first sermon and thought it would be my only. God had different plans. Thank God. So, you know, I was excited. Monday, I was so excited to preach. I was really excited. Matter of fact, last week, Walt said, I was walking to church, he said, hey, by the way, I was wrong. The cruise that they're going on is Sunday to Sunday. So I need you to preach next week and the 25th. And I was like, yeah! And I was like, oh, okay, I can do that. I'm sorry. I said to Jimmy, I said, that wasn't too obvious, was it? He said, just a little bit. But I'm good with it. So I was super excited. So I started prepping for this sermon on Tuesday, and you know, I prayed and I got some information. I knew I was going to preach on obedience. I mean, that's something that God has been revealing to me, to this church, for the last few months, several months, maybe even a year. I mean, he's really been revealing that in my life and the life of this church. So I knew that that's where I had to be. And I even had a scripture to go with it. I had a scripture I read for a class I'm taking. Probably 2 months ago, I thought, man, this is great stuff on obedience. It was great stuff all about King Saul and how he thought he was obeying and he didn't. So I thought, that's what I'm going to do. So, man, I'll tell you what, I got pages and pages and I think 7 pages of stuff. And Wednesday, I started spinning my wheels. Thursday, I'm a mess. Lauren says, are you excited to preach? I said, yeah, I guess. And she kind of looked at me, you know, she didn't expect that answer. I said, I don't know what God's trying to say to Crossroads. I don't know what he's trying to say through me. I got it in my head, what I'm going to use, where I'm going to be, but I'm just not getting it. I don't know what's happening. So Friday, I woke up, and I decided that, you know, I'm going to pray out loud. So I sat at my dining room table, and I prayed out loud, and I pleaded with God. I said, God, I know I'm to preach on obedience. I know that. I feel that you've led me to that. I said, but I can't find the scripture. He's leading me. I knew he was leading me to kind of explain to you guys what's happening at Crossroads, why we're experiencing blessing and growth. But I couldn't find a scripture to go with it, so I was like, maybe it's not it. I don't know. So I started researching some scriptures, and I can't find everything in the book. I know it's in there, but I have to Google and find out where it's at sometimes. So I'm looking up these verses on obedience, and I'm trying to find it. I'm like, God, I know this is it. So I go through this real obscure document. Like, it's not a normal document that you normally see for scriptures. And I read, like, 10 of them. And I'm like, oh, I just don't feel like that's what God's trying to say. So I was about to close it out. I thought, well, I'll read two more. I've read two more. And the last one I read, I was like, yeah, that might be right. That could be it. So, by the way, I prayed out loud for God to reveal to me beyond a shadow of a doubt what scripture I was to use. Keep that in mind, man. So I opened my Bible, and I opened to this scripture. I thought maybe was it, and I just tried to see. Okay, I didn't just highlight that Friday. I opened the Bible, and this scripture was highlighted. And I'm like, really? It's highlighted? Is God really showing me beyond the shadow of a doubt this is what I'm to preach on? Now, God didn't highlight this verse. I highlighted it. But I highlighted it at small group. At small group, building relationships with people, going through the Word. And this is a scripture that we found, we were talking about. And I thought, man, I got to highlight that. I don't know. I might need it. I didn't think about that scripture until God revealed to me. He said, hey, listen, I was telling you a month ago, what you're supposed to preach on. So that's cool, right? God answered a prayer. And there's a lot of people sitting here probably thinking, well, that's an incredible coincidence. Right? Well, I said it before. God engineers coincidence. All right? So me and Lauren are talking, yesterday. We struggle a little bit with prayer together. We do. I admit that. We struggle a little bit with prayer. Well, last night we said we're going to pray together. So we're praying, and you know, for a few things, but specifically for God to use me and for this to be his message and not mine. That's the goal of any preacher up here, for God's message to come out and be revealed. At this church, that's what's going to happen. So we're praying, and I knew there was something else that God had. I didn't quite have the whole story. There was something else, and I needed to kind of shore it up so maybe we could understand this principle of obedience. Well, I just got done listening to the first three chapters of Romans. Just got done listening to that. Me and Lauren prayed, and I thought, well, in Romans chapter 3, there's a verse that I think I might want to use. I'm not sure if I should use it or not. So I opened my Bible, and if you can see, it's highlighted. Okay? Nothing else highlighted around it for pages. So, I mean, I don't know why I'm so surprised, and we are so surprised when God answers prayer. Why is that? I'm like floored. I'm like, I can't believe he actually, beyond a shadow of a doubt, it's highlighted. How do you get any better than that? In my Bible. I don't even remember doing it. So this is it, people. This is the message that God has for Crossroads Church today. Now, I already referenced it, that you know, the reason Crossroads is experiencing blessing and favor in God's eyes, I believe, number one, is through preaching and teaching of the Word. That's number one. Anybody who stands up here and preaches or teaches is going to preach or teach from this book. This is it. This is what we're called to do. I thank God for Walt and his diligence to preach this word. That's what you're going to get. That's number one. Number two, this is the big one for today. We, Crossroads Church, are beginning to apply what we're learning. We're starting to see obedience in ourselves to God, to his commands and his precepts. Turn to James chapter 1, starting in verse 22. We're going to read exactly what I'm talking about, exactly what God wants to say. By the way, first service, man, I was all over the place. I don't know if, hopefully I hit every point. It'll come to me. So if I get kind of crazy and off track and on track and here and there, I apologize, but bear with me. So starting in verse 22 of chapter 1 in James, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Boom! Huh? Come on now. That's what's happening at Crossroads. Verse 22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. What's that mean? Are you coming to church? Are you listening to God and his word and leaving and doing nothing about it? That's what this is talking about. Don't come here and listen and expect to be filled up and get everything from Walt. That's not Walt's job. His job is to teach and preach. But it's your job to go home, read this book, and apply the principles. Be obedient to the principles in this book. Because if you don't, you deceive yourself. That's what it says. If you're coming here and you think it's all you have to do, I just have to show up to church on Sunday and I'm filling up my holy cup and I'm going home and I'm not applying its principles, I'm doing nothing about it, you're deceiving yourself. And you're going to see why a little bit later. So deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Obey the commands. Obey the word. What's obey mean? Obey means to comply with the command or direction of a person or law or authority. We're in church. Who do you think the authority is here? Go ahead and scream it out if you want. God is our authority. We're to obey. We're to do it. We're to listen and then apply it. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do it, do what it says, is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. If you come in here, you're getting a word, you think you're filling up, and you leave and you forget all about it. You're doing it wrong. If you start to forget, if you think, man, Walt said something, but oh well, it was in the Bible somewhere, I'll never find it. Man, look it up. Google it. Text a friend. Do something about it and read it again and then apply it. Or attempt to apply it. Do something about it. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, the perfect law, the law. What are we talking about, law? Man, this is Old Testament stuff. What's happening? Listen, this book works together, Old Testament and New, okay? It's all God's Word. Just because we're in the New Covenant doesn't, you know, mean that the Old Covenant is not important or have no meaning. So the law, what's the law? It's the Mosaic Covenant. It's a conditional covenant that God gave Moses to the Israelites. Ten Commandments. It's a conditional covenant. It's an if-then. If you're obedient, then this is your blessing. If you're disobedient, this is what's going to happen. It's based on conditions. There's also unconditional covenants, which means no matter how bad we screw up, God's will is going to be done, no matter what. But the Mosaic Law was a conditional covenant for the Israelites to obey what God told them. So why am I talking about it? Turn to Romans 3, starting in verse 20. Romans 3, 20. Man, Walt's right. I love to hear the pages turning the Bibles up here. That's awesome. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. So we have this Mosaic law. We have the law. Is that, did God make that and intend that for salvation? Read the text. No. Through the law, we become conscious of our sin. Through the law, we realize that we need a Savior, that we can't keep it. We can't be that obedient. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, which is everybody. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of His blood to be received by faith. The perfect law that gives freedom. Do you have that song shot? The law gave way to liberty and freedom for humanity with a grace so glorious. We just sang that this morning. I'm back here singing and I'm like, whoa, this is what I'm preaching on. The law gave way to liberty. Listen, we can't obey the law completely. We couldn't do it. That's not what it was intended for. There was one person who could and did. Who was it? Jesus. Jesus completely obeyed the law to the point of the cross and death. Complete obedience. That's why He could be the atonement for our sins. That's why we have to grasp a hold of the salvation offered as a gift to us. Listen, obedience does not gain you salvation. You cannot do enough work or enough deeds to gain salvation. It's not about gaining salvation. However, once you're saved, once you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, He calls us to obedience. This is good stuff. Go back to James. We just learned about the law, the perfect law that gives freedom. I mean, now, you know, Jesus freed us from our sin, if we accept it, and continues in it. Listen, we have to continue the race. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. Okay? We have to continue in obedience. Don't think that it's a one and done deal. If you read this book, God's going to reveal to you that. Not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it. There it is again. Doing it. Obey. Do. What kind of word is obey? Verb. Obey is a verb. Is that rhyme? Word, verb? Yeah. Obey is a verb. What kind of word, what does a verb mean? What? Action. Whoa. Action. Obey? Action? What's going on here? You mean I have to do something? You mean I can't just sit here and listen to this guy up here running around acting like an idiot? I can't just sit here and watch him and make fun of him later? I got to actually go do something? That's not the thing you do, by the way. You don't go and make fun of people. Yes, we have to do something because our faith in Christ requires deeds. It expects deeds. Go over to James chapter 2, verse 17. In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Dead people walking around. That's true. Sometimes I feel like a lifeguard. I'm just not man enough to be a lifeguard because I'm walking around and I don't know the state of people's souls, but I'm not seeing any deeds. And I'm thinking, man, everybody's drowning. Pretty much most of us, if we went out to the river and saw somebody drowning, we'd try to help them, wouldn't we? Wouldn't we do something? I don't know, even maybe just throw them a rope or call somebody else, do something. We're walking around in the world, and there's people drowning all around us, and we're not man enough or woman enough to say, hey, come to church. Hey, do you know who Christ is? Do you have a spiritual belief? We're starting to get to that point here at Crossroads. You know how I know that? Because, check this out. Last week, Easter, 399 people. Oof, I don't know there was ever that many here on a Sunday. And Tina, who's here every week, was sick. However, she did a drive-by drop-off of Matthew. So she was at church last week. That's number 400. 400 people. And I don't care why you came. I don't care if you're here to hear me preach. I don't care if you're here to hear the music. Because you're here and you're going to get the message. You're going to get the word. I talked about 4 or 5 new people last week. And every person I talked to was invited by somebody. Matter of fact, there's people here right now that was invited by somebody right now. I don't know their names. There's some back there. There's some over here. So we're going out, and we're getting a little bit of courage, and we're at least inviting people. And people are showing up. People are showing up. Whether they come back is up to them. If they really want to obey what this says, maybe they'll come back. Maybe they'll try to learn a little bit more about it. Hopefully, that's the goal. Listen, if you're here and you're visiting, the goal is for you to be saved. And then the goal is to apply the principles of this book, because when we do that, we're going to change the community. We're going to allow God to change people's lives. He uses people. Where am I at? I get kind of lost. Are we to the they? They will be blessed in what they do. We're back around to Crossroads being blessed for obedience. You know, not only are we inviting people and beginning to witness, We're doing discipleship. There are 10, 15 men doing discipleship. More than there's ever been at Crossroads Church. I mean, we started our group in August. It's supposed to be 25 weeks. We're still going. But that's okay. We're committed to it. Why? Why? Because we want to be obedient to the commands of Christ. Is that really a command? Go and make disciples. That's a command. Why are you laughing at me? Oh, I was getting to it. There's also a female discipleship class. First one at Crossroads Church. And you know the way this is going, there's probably going to be like a group discipleship class starting up in the next year or so, or who knows? Because we're starting to obey. So we're starting to be obedient, and we're seeing the blessings for being obedient. We can't deny that God is moving here, and He wants you to be obedient. He wants me to be. He wants everybody's obedience. And the reason He wants that is it's a cool thing. You know, we think, who wants to obey? Who likes to obey authority? Who really wants to be told what to do? I don't. Most of us here don't want that. Period. However, God says, listen, if you obey me, I'm going to bless you. Now, it might not be the blessings we expect. It might not be a check in the mail. You know, we often think that's a blessing. That's the blessing we're going to receive, a check in the mail. I'm not saying it's not possible. It could happen. I know it's happened to people, something like that. But we're going to be blessed in our spiritual life. Lauren and I were talking yesterday. No, was it this morning or yesterday? I think it was this morning. No, it was this morning. You're wrong. I'm in trouble. So we're talking, and she's like, I don't understand. People used to always tell us that the Christian life, living in obedience, and living this life is the best life you can have. We didn't get it. I mean, really? Come to church, kind of dull. People are pretty strange, you know. And I said, I don't know how that could be. And here we are, and we're so excited beyond anything we've ever experienced. Why? Why is that? Why are we so excited? Because listen, we were created for community. When people say we were created for community, that means we were created to be part of the body of Christ. And when we do that, when we're part of that body, we're fulfilled. We are fulfilled. What more could you ask for than to be fulfilled in this life? That's what it's about, people. That's how this life can be fulfilling and the best life anybody could have. It's funny. First services, I was thinking, if anybody here knew me back 5, 10 years ago, whatever, they would know what I'm talking about. And man, there's somebody sitting right there now that knew me back then. And I hope she can see it. I really do. I know she can see it. She can see exactly what's happening through me and through Crossroads Church. But you have to be obedient. You have to allow for the transformation to happen in your life. You have to allow God to intercede in your life and change it, transform you. We can change our habits, you know. We can do stuff, but we have to allow God to actually transform our mind. We can't just change our habits. Yes, change our habits, but allow God to transform your mind. That is when you are truly transformed, and you're not just putting on an act. Listen, every one of us, every human being was created for community, and they were created with spiritual gifts. Now, these spiritual gifts are meant to build up the body of Christ. Well, the body of Christ is church, His church. And when we're obedient, we're going to find our spiritual gift. And then we're going to apply that spiritual gift. Listen, you can only go so far by yourself. You can only reach such a level by yourself to be Christ-like. You cannot attain it. However, since we are built for community, in that community, when you give to that community, when you find your spiritual gift and you apply it to that community, you can go so much further to be Christ-like. We're a unit. Find your spiritual gift. Listen, I don't want to have to do what you were created for. Jason doesn't want to have to do what I was created for. And when we have to try to do that, when we have to try to fill a gap that one of us leaves, what's that do to our spiritual gift? Pushes it down. We can't be as effective to the building up of the body of Christ. We need to seek out our spiritual gifts. And when we're obedient and we read this book, it's going to happen. I was talking to somebody first service, and he was talking to me. He said, man, you know, I finally dedicated myself to reading this book. I read it 5 days a week. Awesome. 5 days a week he's reading this book. He said, and I'm finally starting to get it. He said, I've been a Christian for 7 years, and I'm finally starting to get it. I said, it's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing. When you actually read the book. And listen, this God didn't say this in James. I'm sorry, Jesus did not say this in James. This is not red letter, okay? This isn't Jesus saying this. However, the Bible is the inerrant word of God, without mistake. And check this out about James. This is so cool. James was a half-brother of Jesus, okay? James questioned Jesus' mission. He wasn't even a believer until the resurrection. Tell me there's not some significance in the resurrection. Peter denied Jesus, right? After the resurrection, totally different person. James didn't even believe him. He comes out and he's a leader in the church. Jesus showed himself to James when he walked the earth after he was resurrected. James and every author in this book was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And people hear that. I used to hear that and think, okay, that's easy for a Christian to say. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, whatever. Listen, the Holy Spirit is so real to me now that you can sit there and tell me, there used to be a point where you could say, well, I don't know about that. And I'd be like, well, yeah, I believe it, but I'm not sure about it. Listen, I can't deny it. I don't know if I can explain it, but I can't deny it, okay? It is so real. And when Walt gets up here every week and preaches, let me tell you something. That's inspired by the Holy Spirit. He's diligent in his preparation. He's praying about it. He's allowing God to reveal to him a message. So any message you hear up here from me, from him, from whoever, is going to be inspired by the Holy Spirit. Just like this book. That's how it's possible. That's how this book doesn't have error. Believe it. The inerrant word of God. No mistake. So though this isn't Jesus' words, this is God's inspired word. And that's the way this book works. Just like the body of Christ. That's pretty neat. Think about all these books in the Bible, 66 books, all working together and explaining God's redemptive plan. Huh? That's what we're supposed to be doing here. Being obedient. Holding each other accountable. Raising each other up so that we can build up the body of Christ. That's our goal, to honor and glorify God, not just on Sunday mornings, not just to come here and listen and feel good. Hopefully you're feeling good and convicted. Because when you feel convicted, that doesn't go away very easily. So hopefully you're coming here, you're listening, you're going away a little bit convicted, thinking, man, I got to do something. You know what? The guy was talking about this book, really? Let's start reading it. And man, we are. And we are. We're starting to apply these principles, and it's so stinking exciting. I mean, the sky's the limit for Crossroads Church. When we're applying these principles, obeying, building up that body of Christ, who knows where it's going to take us? Who knows where your calling is going to take you? Who knows what your calling even is? I never would have dreamt mine was to preach. But guess what? God has created me with a spiritual gift to preach, to be able to talk to people and get his point across. That's one of my spiritual gifts. I was talking about that. Well, actually, I was thinking about that this week, and I thought, because my problem was I was getting so much information, trying to teach so much, and I thought, you know what, right now, Walt's job is to teach and preach. Right now, my role is to preach and encourage and convict. Actually, it's God's job to convict. I wouldn't mind if a little conviction came along, though. That's my role. What's your role? I know what mine is. God revealed it to me, and I've embraced it. Listen, embrace your role. Embrace your calling. Embrace obedience. Man, there's another sermon title I could have used. I couldn't come up with one. So we're going out, we're witnessing, we're doing discipleship, we're doing small groups, we're being obedient to that small group, to that intimate relationship. And as we grow numerically, these small groups are going to be just pivotal. I'll tell you, on Sunday morning, I can't walk around and talk to and say hello to everybody I want to. I used to be able to do that. I can't now because we're growing that much. If you really want to build that relationship and grow your faith, which is going to have actions accompany it, we got to get in small groups. We got 4 small groups right now. Friday's going to be 5. Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome. Not only that, this was a surprise to me. Possibly 2 more starting in the very near future. 7 small groups. These small groups have been going for 2 years. You've heard me talk about it before. It's not just a let's have a small group for a little while and then it'll kind of just fizzle out. No, we're building relationships. We're growing spiritually through obedience. Joel Knepper is being obedient because he feels he needs to lead a small group. That's why it's happening. Obedience. If you obey and you apply these principles, God is going to work through you. And if you obey, your faith is going to grow. If your faith grows, you're going to do more to glorify God. If you do more to glorify God, it's going to come around and you're going to want to be more obedient. It's like a big old circle, and the circle keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. That's the footprint of the church. So let's do it. Are you going to go out and obey these commands? I really wanted to come up with a list of commands. Try to do that. I mean, we can do it. You know, you could pick a couple commands that Jesus himself said, but I thought, you know, I'm really concerned with people reading this book, in case you didn't get that from the last 4 times I've preached. I will say it every single time I preach. You have to get in this book. And what better way for me to use my spiritual gift and get up here and give you this message from God and for you to maybe feel a little conviction or something and go home and look up these commands in his book? Why should I be up here giving them to you? The message I have is to simply obey these commands. Go look them up. Go get into this book. I promise, because it's already happening. Your faith is going to grow. This church is going to explode. And we're not just talking about some relative church tickling your ears. Whether you like this message or not, it's what it is, a message from God. And if we have a church growing that's giving this as the teaching, we're doing it. We're doing it. And we're being obedient. There was something in 1 Samuel. I thought my scripture was going to be about Saul. And whenever he destroy the Amalekites, or actually God commanded him to obey him and said, destroy the Amalekites completely. So Saul went out, King Saul, first king of Israel, and he went out and he killed the Amalekites. And but he left their king alive. And they took the best of the sheep and the cattle. God said, destroy it all. Don't keep anything. Don't let anybody live. Destroy it all. So then Samuel comes with a message from God and says, Saul, why didn't you obey me? Saul says, I did obey you. Well, we completely destroyed them. And the soldiers left the king alive and brought the best of the cattle, but we're going to sacrifice it to you. We're going to sacrifice it to God. So it's okay. No, it's not. It says in the following verses, I'm going to paraphrase it. Obedience trumps sacrifice. How are we going to sacrifice something to God when it's not what He wants? We're good at doing that, aren't we? We're good at coming here and saying, I've sacrificed 2 hours this week to go to church. I'm not sacrificing any other of my time during the week. I don't care what you're sacrificing. Be obedient. Because obedience trumps sacrifice. Read about it. So listen, in closing, I pray that we go out and we apply what we've learned today. Read the book, look up some commands, attempt to apply them. And we're going to continue to be blessed. We're going to continue to grow. We're going to continue to impact the community. Let's pray. Gracious Almighty Father, Lord, we honor and we glorify you through what we do here on Sunday mornings. But God, don't let it stop there. Lord, we pray that you give us the endurance, the ambition to leave from this place and to apply what we've learned. Apply the principles in your book. God, I thank you for the opportunity for us all to gather. I thank you for the opportunity to be the vessel to give your word to Crossroads Church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.